In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The groans of death surround me. The sorrows of hell encompassed me. And in my affliction I called upon the Lord, and he heard my voice from his holy temple. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my firmament and my refuge and my deliverer. These were the words taken from Psalm 17 for our introit this morning on Septuagesima Sunday. Thus the church begins to turn our minds to the contemplation of our eternal salvation, that eternal salvation that is effected for us perfectly in the mystery of the Lord's cross, for which we prepare during our Lenten journey. It requires of us, brothers and sisters, the contemplation of things that are unpleasant and realities that we do not actually want to think about. The groans of death surround me, the sorrows of hell encompassed me, and I am afflicted, and in my affliction I call upon the Lord. Heaven, hell, purgatory, the reality that this mortal coil will soon come to an end, and I will stand before the Lord in his judgment seat and must give an accounting of myself, how it is I lived with the gifts bestowed upon me, how I disposed of the graces that were given to me, how I lived rightly in his sight and in the sight of men, or how I did none of those things and lived only unto myself, squandered the graces that were bestowed upon me, neglected the gifts and talents that God had given me. And the things that I did do, I did solely and only for myself. I know, brothers and sisters, that in truth, most of my brother priests, and maybe even sometimes myself, stand fearfully here in the pulpit to talk about heaven, to talk about hell. Easier, obviously, to talk about heaven because we all believe that we will go there. We certainly believe that all of our loved ones have gone there, regardless of the lives that they have actually led. And so because we believe that about them, believe that about ourselves, we have a difficult time conceptualizing the reality of hell, its existence, and the fact that there are people therein. But let me disabuse you, lest there be any lack of clarity. Hell is a real place, and sadly there are people in it, because they chose not to live with God, but instead to live unto themselves. We hear both in our first reading and in our gospel that God was displeased with the majority of his people as he brought them into the new land. And at the end of our gospel, many are called, but few are chosen. Yet again, a reminder that there is work that must always be done, and we must assiduously do it, and we must concentrate each and every single day to cooperate with the grace of God. If we are under the impression that our presence at Holy Mass on Sunday and maybe a sprinkling of prayers throughout the week is sufficient for us to blithely walk through the gates of heaven, let me disabuse you of that as well. This requires work. It requires sacrifice. Grace indeed is poured out upon grace, and God is generous with that which he wants to bestow upon us. But he likewise expects us to cooperate with the graces that have been given to us. And our cooperation is manifest minimally in our presence at Holy Mass, but also our life of prayer, our life of sacrifice, our life of service. But because she is a good and loving mother, what does Holy Mother Church do for us? She gives us the retreat that is Lent, and she gives us these weeks leading to that retreat to prepare ourselves. What are you going to do in order to better prepare yourself to utilize the graces that God is giving you? What sacrifices and disciplines will you undertake to better subject yourself to the grace of God, that you can then better cooperate with those very graces? What sacrifices will you make? What service will you render in order, again, to better conform yourself to the things of God? For a majority of faithful Catholics, these are rhetorical questions at best. And if they answer them, they find themselves doing it on Fat Tuesday and maybe even in the morning on Ash Wednesday. At that point, in truth, brothers and sisters, I have found from my own lived experience, it really is too late. And we have squandered the work that could happen in the Lenten season because we didn't take advantage of the time leading up to it to actually enter into the season well. If I seem slightly more animated or intense than I normally am, it's because as I have grown older, I have become more aware of the reality of my own death, about which I speak often. And at times confronted then with my weaknesses and my failures, with the reality of possible sickness, I have to ask myself again and again, am I ready for something that I seemingly long for? And oftentimes I'm caught short because I'm not ready. I'm not well prepared. I have been lax in prayer, lazy in my work, cheap and stingy in my charity, an unwillingness to conform myself to God, to do the things I need to do. And when I do what I'm required to do it either half-heartedly or begrudgingly, all the while relying upon the simple fact that I'm a priest and therefore God will let me walk right through the gates because I gave my life to Him. But did I give my life to God? Yes, as a priest, certainly, some decades ago. But it's not something you do once. It is something you do again and again and again. Not because you have forgotten how to do it, but because the nature of the relationship into which we have entered requires that type of constancy and commitment day after day, moment after moment, to do and seek the things of God. We can never grow tired, never grow weary. Never become overwhelmed by striving to better conform ourselves to that which God desires for us. Because as you also know, and I too can testify, that when we give ourselves over to God, there truly is peace and joy in our lives. Not an absence of difficulty or conflict, not a minimization of the sacrifices and crosses that we must endure, but the strength to truly rise above. The strength to truly allow our lives to be testaments to the power of the living God working in, with, and through us. What these days of the season of Septuagesima provide for us is not only an opportunity to contemplate, but then to concretize what it is I'm going to do that I might better live the life that God has given me. It really is a simple thing that is set before us. It becomes difficult because we war against God. A war that we lose over and over and over again and have to come back to the sacrament of reconciliation yet again to ask for His forgiveness. You think that we would learn to simply give over to God. And when we do give over to God, the blessings are indeed 10, 50, and 100-fold. I say that again, not something that might be, but something that truly is a reality from my lived experience. And if you look at and search your own hearts, you know that is true for yourselves as well. God is never outdone in generosity. He is never outdone in the love and the compassion and the mercy that He has for us and that which He wishes to bestow upon us. But there are still things required of us, things that we must do, not to earn salvation, because it is not something that I can. It is a gift given, but to cooperate with that which has already been bestowed upon me. And so the church says, take the time to prepare yourself, to ready yourself, to use well the time of retreat, that you might emerge from the Lenten season with greater resolve to pick up your cross and follow after the Lord, because that is what you have been doing. In truth, all of the saints, the holy men and women who've gone before us, especially those who are dear to our hearts, what they have in common is that they never put down the cross. Even when they fell underneath its weight, even when they might have found themselves tired and overwhelmed, they continued to move forward with God. It is better we run the race with Him than try to go it on our own. But we must disabuse ourselves that this is an easy project. God does ask of us, but also gives us the ability to do what needs to be done. The contemplation then of hell need not be something that would frighten us to the point of inertia, but rather would motivate us to live rightly with the Lord, knowing that it is God's desire that we not be there, that it is God's desire that we be with Him. And if we end up separated from God, it is because that is what we have chosen, not that which God desires for us. As I look out upon you now, I see stunned and sad faces, slightly overwhelmed that this is not a more cheerful explanation of what it is that we are doing this particular day. Well, I don't know what else to do or to say to you, because I would be neglecting my duties if I did not preach the truth. And sometimes the preaching of the truth is a hard and a difficult thing to say, and maybe even harder to hear, and maybe even insurmountable to do on our own. But nothing with God is impossible. And so begin today to contemplate what it is that you will do. What needs to change in your life, what you need to jettison in order to grow closer to the Lord, what you need to embrace to draw nearer to the Lord. And then use these same weeks to prepare yourself for what you will do as your disciplines and sacrifices in the Lenten season, bearing in mind always that when we die with the Lord and share in his sufferings, we so too share in the new life that he bestows upon us. Indeed, brothers and sisters, many have been called, but as we also know, only a select few are chosen. It is his desire that you be those. It is his grace given to you that that may happen. Now it is up to you to go into his vineyard and to do the work of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.